My mom was a piano teacher when I was growing up. So guess who got piano lessons, right? And who guess who made me practice every single day? I wasn't a natural musician, but hard work and determination, I struggled through and I was progressing. The deal was, finish your grade 5 piano, you get a stereo. I wanted a stereo because I liked my 80s heavy metal or Christian bands. And so I needed that. So I worked away, come to my big recital at the end, and I play my piece, and everyone's saying comments like, good job, I liked it, well done, you're so good. A few days later, we went to this concert, and there's these two brothers on stage playing their pianos, and they just made those pianos dance, right? Like, those guys were incredible. The concert finished, and everyone said stuff like, oh, good job, I really liked that, well done, they're so good, and I'm thinking, I'm not a piano player. Like, everyone just said, you did such a good job, but I was like, just like pounding those keys. Those guys on stage, they played piano. At that point, I thought, I'm going to leave it to the experts, right? I am not that guy. And I wonder how many times we look at our Christian walk like that. Where, was anyone really expecting me to be that professional? Probably not. They were probably just happy I was a little bit better than last year. Right, a little bit less painful to listen to. I was progressing, and if I had some joy in it, that's what their expectation was. They weren't expecting me to be a professional. And when we think about our lives as disciples of Jesus, what is it that we're looking for? Are you an expert at following Jesus? Really, we want to ask the question, what is a disciple? And as we ask this question, we all have something in mind, right? If we think a disciple is this elite class of Christians, well, I'm not even going to bother because how could I? Or if we think of a disciple as, well, they're the professionals, we can just hire them to do it for us, right? Or if we think of a disciple merely as a student, well, I took this class in 1992, so I'm basically set, right? Now, how we define disciple is important. We can't just assume that everything's going along okay. And it's important to have a working definition. Now, I'd be happy with a lot of different definitions. The Bible doesn't give us one clear, distinct, this is a good definition of a disciple. It's so multifaceted. But really, a disciple, in its narrowest sense, is a learner or a follower of a teacher. So applied to Jesus, a disciple is someone who learns from Jesus in order to live like him, to imitate him. It's more than just an apprentice. An apprentice, you don't really care who it is as long as they're able to teach you well and give you those skills, right? You're not trying to imitate their life. But a disciple is not only learning from, but imitating the one that they're following. And so, a follower of Jesus, yes, but you can elaborate a lot on a follower of Jesus. And so the definition that I like comes from a set of resources called Saturate. And they begin by taking us to Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. This is the very front end of Jesus' ministry. He's just beginning things, and he calls to Andrew and to Peter, and he says, come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. I remember as a kid hearing that passage. I imagine Jesus walking down the beach. He sees a couple of total strangers, and he says, hey guys, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. They leave everything, and they give their whole lives to him, and I'm thinking, like, how random is that? Maybe Jesus had some, like, glowing halo or a sign or something. As we read the book of John, and we understand the context a little bit more, these guys, they were already seeking. They'd already left things to follow John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was pointing them to Jesus. And so when they saw Jesus and Jesus called them, it wasn't just out of the blue. They kind of knew who he was. And in their time, you could leave things and you go and you travel with your teacher, the one you want to be made disciples of. So what is a disciple? Jesus says three things in this passage. First, he says, follow me. When he says, follow me, walk with me, join me, imitate me, learn from me. Remember the game you played as a kid? Follow the leader. You go this way, follow. You turn and go this way, you follow. You jump up and down. Follow me, Jesus says. And what will he do? I will make you. You're not a self-made person. Jesus is doing the making. He has a plan in mind. He is the one crafting. He's the initiator. He's the director. He's making, and Jesus says, I will make you. And what will he make you into? Fishers. There's a purpose. There's a goal. There's a specific objective in mind that he has. Go and cast nets for people, he says, and bring them in. And he's saying this to fishers of fish. He says, I'll make you into something different, fishers of men. Instead of working tirelessly day and night, going out looking for the fish, go from town to town and person to person, casting your nets, showing people how amazing Jesus is. So this was the front end of the ministry of Jesus. Come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. After a few years of ministry, and Jesus is crucified, he's buried, he raises from the dead, he spends 40 days with his followers showing who he is. We come to Matthew chapter 18, right at the end of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20. And it says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. Following Jesus will lead to the worship of Jesus. Jesus says, come follow me. They follow Jesus, and what's the result? Worship. Following Jesus leads to a worship of Jesus, and it leads to a worship of Jesus because as they followed him, they saw him for who he truly was. So their worship declared that he is God. Their worship said, he is Lord. So a disciple of Jesus, will begin to build our definition, is one who worships Jesus, and they worship Jesus in all of life. It's exclusive. They don't say, well, I'll worship Jesus Sunday morning during the singing time and the rest of my life. Well, there's lots of other things to chase after. No. Worshiping Jesus is exclusive. It's in all of life. A disciple of Jesus, because worship is more than just singing songs, it's a lifestyle to live in the light of one who you see as supreme. Now notice something else in this passage. How many of the disciples were there? It says 11. Of course there were 12, but Judas had betrayed Jesus and he went and he'd hung himself. And now there's 11. So 11 of Jesus' closest followers were there. They come and they worship him. But in verse 17 it says, but some doubted. These 11. They saw the risen Lord for 40 days. They ate with him. They put their fingers in the scars. They knew the risen Lord, and some, they were still doubting. Now we read later throughout the scriptures that these guys went on and they followed Jesus and they saw the whole world change as they proclaimed Jesus. But here they are. Some are worshiping and some are doubting. And what does that tell us about a disciple? I think one thing it can say is that it's progressive in nature. You don't just arrive of, I'm a disciple, and now, yeah, kind of been there, done that. No, a definition of disciple needs to make it not static in nature, but always becoming. So we can say we're increasingly worshiping Jesus in all of life. And in that, yeah, there'll be times where we slip up and where we stumble and where we have our doubts. But as a disciple, we'll keep coming back to him. We'll increasingly worship Jesus in all of life. And as we do that, we look at worshiping Jesus. And as we define that, we don't just make a definition. We also want to evaluate our own hearts, right? Are you increasingly worshiping Jesus in your life? Are there areas of your life where maybe you're elevating other things? You're giving them priority over the risen Lord? Come follow me, Jesus said. And as we follow, we see him for who he is, and it leads to worship. Jesus says, I will make you. So that means a disciple is someone who is changed by Jesus. It says in Matthew 28, he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I will make you into something. So as we follow him, he changes us. Then he says, go therefore and make disciples. So just like he made them, now they go and they make. And not disciples of themselves, but disciples of Jesus. They imitate Jesus by going out and pointing others to Jesus. And Jesus is the teacher. He's the one that follows. He's the one that imitates. And part of how we lead to Jesus, people to lead Jesus, is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 and 1 Corinthians 11. Follow me as I follow Christ. And I'll help point you to Jesus. So Jesus says, go make disciples and baptize them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Two Sundays ago, we had a guest speaker, Jeff Peter, and he talked about being baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and how baptism is a sign of our identity being changed. Baptism says we're taking on a new name, we're taking on a new identity. Now, the word disciple isn't one that we use in English in everyday regular life. It's a bit more of a religious word. Baptism as well. Back in Jesus' day, baptism was a regular word in the marketplace, especially the textile industry. Baptism literally means to immerse or to submerge. So you've got people in their factory and someone says, hey, I've got my big vat of purple dye here. Can you take all that white material, baptize it into the purple dye so that it comes out different, changed, right? And so they'd take the cloth and they'd baptize it. They'd immerse it. They'd submerge it in, and it comes out different. The whole idea is that change that takes place. And so as we're baptized into the name of the Father, here we have the Father, and we're immersed into the Father, what do we come out as? As children, sons and daughters, together, a family of believers. We're changed. We're given a new identity. We're baptized into the name of the Son, who is our Lord and Master, and He came to serve us by giving His life as a ransom for many. And so when we're baptized into the name of the Son, our identity is changed and we come out as servants with Him as our King, our Lord, and our Master. We're baptized into the name of the Holy Spirit. And if you're immersed into the Holy Spirit, who sends you, who empowers you, who gives you the words to say when you need them as your counsel and guide, you come out different. Your new identity is as a sent one, as a missionary. So, when we're baptized, it's signifying the change, the new life. Jesus says, I will make you into something. And then we see we change. So a disciple of Jesus is one who is increasingly worshiping Jesus in all of life and is being changed by Jesus. I think we could add those words again. You're increasingly being changed by Jesus in all of life. In all of life. Have you been baptized? If you're a follower of Jesus, you're a disciple of His. You have been commanded to be baptized. If you haven't yet been baptized, call into the church office. We'll talk to you. We'll explain it a little bit more. And hey, even next Sunday, why not? We could fill up the tank behind us and have a baptism. So there's a challenge for you. If you haven't been baptized, be baptized. Signify to the world around you your new identity that Jesus has given you. A disciple of Jesus worships Jesus. A disciple of Jesus is changed by Jesus. A disciple of Jesus also obeys Jesus. Jesus says, I will make you into fishers of men. He's given them a goal, an objective, a whole purpose. These are the purposes of Jesus. Now in Matthew 28, He says, go and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Teach them to obey His commands. So He has His purposes and He has His commands. Jesus says there's this distinct call, go and make disciples. And we're to obey Him. Now, as we live as part of the kingdom of Jesus, we need to ask, well, what's it mean to live like a child of God? How do we live? How do we obey? What authority do we follow? Who do we submit to? And it all comes down to obey Jesus. And Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. He goes and He speaks about His commands, and He says His commands aren't burdensome. His command is to love one another, just as He has loved us. So a disciple of Jesus is increasingly worshiping Jesus in all of life, is being changed by Jesus, and obeying Jesus' commands and purposes. Is that describing you? Are you a disciple of Jesus, a follower, a student, one who imitates their master in order to become like them, so that we can increasingly worship him and be changed by him and obey him. So there we've defined disciple. But there's another term that I want to get into and put a definition to as well, and that is discipleship. Discipleship is simply just the process of making disciples. When Jesus said, go and make disciples, that's discipleship. And so as we're followers of Jesus, we're disciples of Jesus, we're commanded to go and make disciples, it's important for us to understand, well then, if we're to go and make disciples, what is discipleship? So that we have it clear in our minds, because if it's foggy, how are we going to know what it is that we're making or what it is that we're to do? And the definition that I've adopted is leading others to increasingly submit all of life to the empowering presence and lordship of Jesus Christ. So, one word at a time, leading. You know what the word leading means? It's all about influence. It's about example. It's about explanations and teaching. It's about modeling. It's got to be purposeful. There's a plan in place. And just as Jesus said, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men, we go to others and we say, come, journey with me, and we'll point you to Jesus. I'll lead you to Jesus. Now, sometimes we have permission to lead others. We can talk with them, and we can make a formal arrangement of let's meet, and let's journey through life together, and I'll help disciple you and point you to Jesus. And other times, we don't have that kind of that formal arrangement, but there's a bit more of an informal aspect where there's more persuasion involved. And just like Jesus said, if you're fishers for men, sometimes we look around the church and we look around the world around us and people are like, yeah, I like following Jesus, or I don't even know who Jesus is. And we don't sit down and make a formal arrangement with them because they might say, no, thank you. But we're still fishing. We try and try and try again. We keep persuading. We keep pointing to Jesus. We keep leading them because that's what leading is. Now, who is it that we lead? We're leading others. Jesus spells out right here, go and make disciples of who? All nations. All people. Oh, the whole world. Okay, are you able to do that all by yourself? Of course not. But it reminds us this is pretty big and this is pretty broad. I think Jesus did that on purpose. He's showing us God's heart for the world. And it's reminding us this needs to be intentional. It doesn't just happen all by itself. It's not haphazard. And it's not just limited to a program, come out Tuesday at 7 o'clock. No, this is all of life, always branching out. So we're leading others to increasingly. We've already said that discipleship is progressive. It doesn't happen all at once. And you know that, right? You spend time with people, and they know the right thing to do. And yet, how many times do we do the wrong thing anyway? So we're increasingly coming alongside and journeying along with people. We don't just say, well, I told them once and that was good enough. No, we keep on moving and going and journeying with people. We're leading others to increasingly submit. And that word submit is important. To acknowledge who Jesus is. Just as Jesus said to his Father, not my will, but yours be done. To submit means I recognize that Jesus is the authority. I recognize that he is so much more wonderful and amazing. So I come and I submit all of my life to him. And submitting means replacing one kingdom for another. So we're tearing down old belief systems and we're building Jesus in to our lives for a whole new kingdom, a better life as we submit to him. And we're submitting all of life. Just like Ephesians 4 till in 15, it says, speak the truth in love, grow up in him in every way. Grow up in him in every way. Not just some ways. Not just when people are watching. Not just when you're around the right crowd at church. Grow up in him in every way. All of life. In all of life. Your marriage, your finances, how you file your taxes. If you're in sports or leisure, your family, your kids, your work. All of life. So discipleship is coming alongside someone and leading them. In all of life. Every part of them. And so you need to know the person and journey with the person so you can be part of their life. Just like Colossians 1:28 says, he is the one that we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Discipleship is presenting people fully mature in Christ, leading them to increasingly submit all of life to Jesus. So what are they submitting to? The empowering presence and lordship of Jesus. Empowering because Jesus says in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. He has the authority, so he's empowered. He's the one who has the power. And when we get discouraged and down and we say, I can't disciple others, who's the one who has the power? All authority has been given to Jesus, and he has then called us to go to others. The empowering presence. The presence of Jesus. The whole book of Matthew ends where Jesus says, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. His presence is with us. He's left us the Holy Spirit. We're not alone. Discipleship seems enormous, and Jesus says, but I'm with you. I'm empowering you. And what are we leading others to? We're leading others to increasingly submit all of their life to this empowerment of Jesus, to the presence of Jesus, also to the lordship of Jesus, because he is the king. He's above all else. And helping people recognize, I think you're following another Lord here. Come under a better Lord, Jesus, Jesus Christ. So when we think of discipleship, do you throw up your hands in the air and say, how on earth are we going to do that? Hey, this is an enormous calling, isn't it? All of life? I can help people say, well, why don't you come to church? But submit all of life to Jesus? How can we do that? To see hearts changed, to see behaviors obey, to see passions worship. Isn't it good enough just to make sure you're just doing a little bit? And if you're like me, it's easy to become overwhelmed. And to say the standard's too high. And when we're overwhelmed, one of the things to naturally do is just to stall out. Sit back and maybe someone else will do it. Or if we're overwhelmed, it's easy to compromise. Well, submit part of your life, but be realistic, right? No one's perfect. It's easy to compromise. Or when we're overwhelmed with the enormous the task is, we can say, well, it's probably just for experts, right? So let's hire an expert to do discipleship for us. And then I start thinking, wait a minute, I'm the pastor. I can't do it all. God has led me and matured me so I can disciple some. And partly because one of the scariest things I realized when we were in Tanzania is the guy had been following me for so many years started to look like me. That was exciting at first until I started to see all my faults in him. I'm like, I can't do that. How can I lead others to increasingly submit all of life to the empowering presence and lordship of Jesus? This is huge. This is overwhelming. And we know we can't just back away. We know we can't just not. And as a pastor, I feel the weight of this because my job, along with the leaders of the church, is to equip all of us for the works of service that Jesus has given us to do. And so I wonder if we try and think about this a little bit differently. What if instead of being overwhelmed and thinking this is just a task for experts, we look at it this way? One poor beggar leading another poor beggar to bread. It's different, isn't it? One poor beggar leading another poor beggar to bread. Can you do that? It starts with a need. I'm a poor beggar. I don't have any income. I don't know what to do. I'm hungry. I need bread. And those around me, they need it too. So we're all in the same boat. And it requires an answer. Because if we're all just sitting around hungry, we're not doing much good, are we? But if someone shouts out, I know where the bread is, we're going to listen up, aren't we? There's this answer. And as I've been changed by Jesus, and as I've seen who Jesus is, and I recognize that he is the bread of life, he's given me his word that I'm learning and studying so I can know him, I can call out to those around me, I know where the bread is. Let's go. Let's journey together. And isn't that discipleship? Come along. Let's go discover Jesus together. I know how to find him. And it requires a bit of a way. Because sometimes We bump into a barrier. The door is locked and we get stuck, and I want to submit all of life to Jesus, but right here I'm not seeing victory in my life. And as we have people in our lives and as we're investing in the lives of others, some can say, well, here's a part of the scriptures that gives us a key to get through that door. I've journeyed here and I went around and I climbed over the fence here to help me get closer to Jesus. And as we grow and mature in our lives, we can say, come follow me just as I'm following Jesus. There's this way. I know how to get there. And we can do that in the formal ways through permission of, like, some of the guys in my life where we have our DNA group. We had a workshop a few Sundays ago in the afternoon. Discover, Nurture, Act. That's what DNA stands for, where we spend time in God's Word discovering it together, and then we're nurturing one another's hearts through that, and then we pray and say, how do we act out on this? And a great avenue where we have this kind of formal arrangement of let's disciple one another because we need help. We're one poor beggar leading another poor beggar to bread. And other times we need that persuasion. People are like, nah, I'm not hungry. I'm fine, thanks. Oh, but it's so good. Just try a little. Understand Jesus a little. Watch my life and see how he's satisfying me as I'm increasingly worshiping him. Now our next slide has our definitions again. What a disciple is, what discipleship is. If a disciple is increasingly worshiping Jesus in all of life, being changed by Jesus, and obeying Jesus' commands and purposes, then discipleship is leading others to increasingly submit all of life to the empowering presence and lordship of Jesus Christ. We need to ask, who are you discipling? Let's back up one step and ask, are you a disciple? Are you following Jesus? Are you increasingly worshiping him in your life? Are you being changed by him? Are you obeying him? Are you a disciple? If you are a disciple, what are you called to do? Obey. One of those parts of obeying is to lead others to increasingly worshiping Jesus. So I need to ask, who are you discipling? Now there should be a generic answer for all of us, because discipleship happens in all of life. When I go to the store and I talk to someone there, I'm thinking I'm a disciple and I'm leading them to know Jesus. And when we're at the club or the game, when we're walking along the road or sitting at the table, when we're on the phone or we're typing on the internet, who are you making disciples of? All of life, people all around you, you're fishing in small and formal ways, other times very specific, concrete ways. And I want to push us as a church to recognize discipleship in all of life. Everywhere you go, everyone you interact with, everyone, make disciples. But sometimes, saying, oh, I make disciples in all of life, can actually turn into a bit of a cop-out, right? Just like we're told to pray continually, I pray continually, which actually means I don't pray, I just sort of kind of do every now and then, right? And so discipleship in all of life, we can't make that a cop-out for, well, I'm not actually making disciples of anyone. So let's ask again, who are you making disciples of? Can you name a couple of names of people that you're intentionally investing in? Who are you making disciples of? If we say, everywhere I go in all of life, that's a hard answer. But the harder answer is to name one, two, or three people to say, praying for them, I'm investing in them, I'm leading them to see Jesus so they could submit to Jesus and his empowering presence and lordship. I was trying to think, what's the grand conclusion for this message? I wanted a neat story or an inspirational speech to get us out there to be saying, yeah, I need to be making disciples. But maybe it'll be better for you to write your own conclusion. What is it that you want to take away from Jesus calling you to go and make disciples? Maybe it's to grow yourself. See, I am a disciple, but I sure need someone helping me because I'm hungry and I'm just not finding that bread. I need others to come alongside and help point me to Jesus. How will you go about doing that? Write your conclusion. Find someone to disciple you, to help you. Or maybe the conclusion that you want to write to say, no, today I need to take home this challenge to intentionally find someone to make disciples of. And just as Jesus said to his followers, Hey, come follow me. Watch as I care for others. Listen as I teach. Observe as I suffer. Pay attention as I lay down my life. We come alongside others and say, come, join me, that I can lead you to Jesus. Who? Who will you make a disciple of? Or maybe the conclusion that you're writing is, I have the desire, I want to, just feel stuck. Where do I start? How do I begin? I don't feel like I'm equipped. Maybe even I had someone, I wouldn't know what to do. Well, the job of the pastors and the leaders of this church is to equip you. In the back of your bulletin, there's the email address, there's a phone number. Get a hold of me or other people. And don't say to yourself, well, the pastors, they're pretty busy. Because literally my job is to equip you, right? And so let's work together and get us started so we can be fulfilling the purpose that Jesus has given us. So disciple, be a disciple by increasingly worshiping Jesus in all of your life and being changed by Jesus, obeying his commands and his purposes. And don't just grow as a disciple, but remember that Jesus blesses you so you can be a blessing to others, and so lead others to increasingly submit all of their lives to the empowering presence and lordship of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you that you called us to yourself, that you said you'd make us, you'd change us, and as we're baptized, we're expressing that change in our lives. We worship you as the risen Lord and Savior. We submit our lives to you. Thank you for your empowering presence and lordship in our lives. And may we be a church that makes disciples. In Jesus' name.